You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. Today, brothers and sisters, we return to the parish church after 1 week, just as the Lord returned to the apostles on the eighth day. And we read about that and heard about that in today's gospel. I think the first thing we have to do before we even talk about any of the content is talk about the way the church numbers things, because it's just really confusing to us who live in the West. We don't get it. So today is the second week after Pascha. Right? That makes perfect sense to us, because Pascha was 7 days ago. And it's the eighth day, by the way, after Pascha. See, in the church, we count everything from the day that it happens as one. So the first day of Pascha was Pascha, right? And so on and so forth. The only time we really feel this is this time of year, when we can't understand how it can possibly be the second week after Pascha, when it's only 7 days later, when it's really 8 days later, but also when somebody dies. There's always a big controversy about when the 40th day is. I will always be happy to tell you, by the way. And sometimes I don't count right, and my wife will point that out to me, but it's not because I don't count one on the day that it happened. You see, if somebody dies at 11:59 at night, that's the first day. So, it's a little digression, but I think it helps us when we start to have these conversations not to just close our ears because we can't understand the church mathematics. There is more church mathematics too, but that's for another time. Today we will talk about anti-Pascha. The church is not against Pascha, as you might imagine. We are actually quite for Pascha. We like this. This is the most important feast of the year. So why do we have a Sunday called anti-Pascha? It means Pascha again, actually. It doesn't mean we are against it. We have anything, we harbor any bad feelings about it, or we don't like it. It's we serve Pascha again. This is a special Sunday. If you look at the liturgics of this Sunday, it's actually not even really, strictly speaking, served as a Sunday. It's served as one of the great feasts of the church. Today, we read in the Gospel about how the Lord appeared unto the disciples, and Thomas was not there with them. Those of you who know the history of salvation, and you know Thomas's part in it, you know that he is consistently late. Perhaps he was the first true Orthodox Christian, always, you know, late to every single possible thing. Again, that's a different lecture, a different sort of sermon, but he shows today that he comes late. Why? It's for God's glory. And this is really important for us to understand. Sometimes things don't go the way that we want them to go, but it can be for God's glory if we let it, or it can be for our temptation if we let it. But today, this is for God's glory. Why? Because the Lord appears unto the disciples. They are hiding. Why are they hiding? Well, let's see. Their teacher just got killed. And they are about ready to get kicked out of the synagogue. They can probably surmise, without having too many powers of being in foresight, understand they're next. They will be coming after them next. And so they are hiding. They are not out boldly preaching Christ. This comes 50 days from now, when Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit descends upon the disciples. No, today they are hiding. They are hiding in a place where nobody could find them. And the Lord appears to them, and it says in the Gospel very specifically, the doors are shut. This is not because they needed to fill in with a few words. They didn't know what to say there, so they said, oh, we'll just tell them that the doors were shut. No, there's a reason for that. So that we will see that the Lord is not circumscribed by physical things now. Not that he really was before, but as a man, yes. As God, no, never. And he appears to them, and Thomas is not there. Then they say to him, oh, we saw the Lord. And he says, that's great. I believe. Let's go find him. No, that's not what all of he says. He says, I don't believe it. He says, I will not believe it unless I take my finger and I put it into his hands where the nails were, or I put my hand into his side where the soldier pierced it. Then, 8 days later, today, the Lord appears to them again and Thomas is with them. And they have that famous conversation when the Lord holds his hand up and he says, here, put your finger into the print of the nails. Here, put your hand into my side. And Thomas believes. Now, in the West, Thomas is usually called the doubting Thomas. That's very interesting because on the icon that's in the middle of the church, it says the believing of Thomas, or that Thomas believes. You see, when he touches the Lord, when he sees him, he believes. And I can hear people in the back of their mind say, well, so would I. I would believe. No problem. It's not a problem for me. If I would just see him, if he would just appear to me right here, I will believe. Well, brothers and sisters, if you can just wait 2-3 minutes, he will appear. He will come. His body and blood will be presented to us. But Thomas plays the part of us. He plays the part of us. We who have doubts. We who struggle. And you know, I read a very nice article at the beginning of Great Lent about doubt. You see, brothers and sisters, doubt is not unbelief. Doubt is a temptation. But we like to take this temptation and say, this is a huge thing. Like, I'm going to take this little thought, and I'm going to turn it into a big, huge thing, and then I'm going to think about, well, maybe I don't really need to go to church now. Maybe I don't really need to fast now. Maybe I don't need to read the scriptures now. Let's take this little temptation and blow it up into something huge. Why do we do this? I can't tell you why we do this, but it's a rather universal temptation. We sort of take this temptation and add gas to that fire, just indefinitely, until the fire is roaring. If we would just say to ourselves, if we would just pray to God and say, God, help me with this temptation. I have some doubt. Well, if you have doubt, let me tell you, you're like every other person. Right? Everybody has doubts sometimes. That's okay. Thomas is standing in for us. And being the apostle of doubt, if you like, he is someone that it is good to ask prayers of if we are struggling in this regard. Brothers and sisters, this beautiful time of year, this Pentecost that we are in now, this 50 days when we are celebrating the Lord's resurrection in a very radical, clear, open way, this is a really special time of year for us. It's not a mistake that the Holy Church begins this time with Thomas. The Church, as a loving mother, knows us, knows our strengths, knows our weaknesses. Brothers and sisters, we need to admit the reality, which is we are living in a spiritual hospital. The church is a spiritual hospital. And certainly we'll say, yes, you are sick, I'm good, but you're sick, and you, oh boy, and you, we can point out everyone else's sicknesses, no problem. We are quite good at that, actually. Probably we are all spiritual physicians in our minds, but we too, brothers and sisters, are sick, and we are struggling with our spiritual doubts, with our spiritual problems, with our spiritual weaknesses. Let's embrace that reality on this day. This day when we celebrate the Lord appearing to the disciples. And oh, by the way, when he appeared, what did he do? He only gave one of the most important medicines that the church has. You see, on this day, the Lord establishes repentance. We always remember Thomas with his finger and wanting to put his hands in the print of the nails. But what did the Lord say? He breathed on them and he said to them, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. What does that sound like to you? That, brothers and sisters, is what we call confession. The name of the sacrament is repentance because confession is part of repentance. It wasn't like that in the Old Testament. If you did something bad, you needed to go buy a dove or something like that and bring it to the temple and sacrifice it. It was a propitiation, kind of making up for some bad thing. there was not forgiveness of sins as the way there is now because of what our Lord established when he appeared to the disciples. So, brothers and sisters, let us thank God on this beautiful day, this day when we celebrate Pascha again, this day when the Lord established the so important sacrament of repentance for our salvation, and this day when Thomas stands in for us when we have a little bit of doubt. Thomas had a little bit of doubt, but he stayed. He stayed with the Lord, he went out and he preached, and he attained the heavenly kingdom. If we have a little bit of doubt, brothers and sisters, let us stay too. Let us turn to the Lord and ask him to strengthen our faith. Let us ask the Apostle Thomas to pray to God for us. And if we can approach doubt as just a temptation, which is all that it is, not equating it with unbelief, then, brothers and sisters, today is the first day of our salvation. May the Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.